welcome you. We pray you feel at home. Amen. We serve one Lord, one faith,
one baptism,
and one baptism.
Thank you, Lord.
The Word of God lets us know there's one God, and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and mostly important, He is in
us all.
You all in the presence of the Holy Ghost. For that, can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We are honored to be back in Troy once again. You know, every time I go to Atlanta, the saints get a little nervous. And I might not come back.
You'll come back, Elder.
I get a little nervous too, but I always come back. Amen. When I go there, my family put the pressure on me every time. When are you moving back home? Amen. But we bless the Lord. Amen. We thank God for my wife. Amen. And the blessing that she was to Evangelist Hayes and Bishop Hayes and all others that she works with. Amen. And with her nursing skill, we just bless the Lord for that.
Right.
We thank God for the good time.
Yes.
Can we say good time?
Good time.
That you all had last Sunday. Amen. How many of us really want to have the heart of a champion?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Not the talk, not the mind, but to have the heart of a champion. For the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Keep thy heart with all diligence.
Yes. Amen.
For out of it are the issue of life. So you need to be and have the heart of a champion. And as Minister Gibbs said, in order for you to have that heart, you need to have God's Spirit. Amen. Right. Well, we're blessed once again. We thank God. You know, every time you get on the highways,
amen,
there's dangers.
Amen.
We passed cars that were flipped over and in ditches. Amen. We had cars that cut us off. Cars that almost had accidents with us, but God.
All right.
So we never take it for granted. Amen. When we travel, we always acknowledge God and say, Lord, you take control. And as I said on Friday, one of the signs of success is God begins to move us on. We start leaving God out. Amen. We start making decisions based on where we are, and we fail to acknowledge the Lord. So we just thank God once again for His goodness and mercy.
Yes.
Amen. We thank God. I heard somebody say, if it had not been for the Lord. How many know that? If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Yeah, you know, we can carry ourselves so far, but as Sister Eunice saying, there are some places that we and our family cannot go. But God. So we thank God for that. We're going to ask you to stand. And once again, Pastor Harper, this is the final day of the anniversary. And it will be at 4 o'clock. Amen. So I won't be long because I want everybody to be able to eat and do what you got to do if you want to be there. But I know there's some prior arrangements that have been made. Amen. I'm sure you will understand it because we did participate in the pre-anniversary service as well. But if you don't have any plans, they have a guest preacher from a bishop from Ohio, amen, that will be delivering the word on today. Amen. So our scripture reading this afternoon will be coming from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 13. Amen.
Yeah.
All right, don't get quiet on me, y'all.
Yeah.
I get nervous when y'all get quiet. I be thinking y'all get mad and all kind of stuff about me. So it'd be hard for me to speak. All right, let's get to it. Yeah, I gotta loosen everybody up in here. Amen. We just bless the Lord. Verse 5 reads, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth. Once again, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. For he shall be like the heat in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth
in the Lord.
Once again, blessed is the man who trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit. Lord, we thank you this afternoon for the reading of your word. Now, Father God, as we assemble together in thy presence, Lord, we need you. For in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Lord God, and we thank you that at your right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Now, Lord, we as a congregation and as a people of God, we ask you, Lord, for a divine inspection on this afternoon. Lord, then after you inspect our lives individually, Lord, we ask you to send us a collective answer through thy word. Lord, send thine anointing. Father God, speak to every need. Lord, you know the distresses. Lord, you know the pain. Lord, you know the hurts and you know the disappointment. But we thank you for your words that you came that we might have life.
All right.
And that we might have it more abundantly. Lord, speak the abundant life to us in that room through thy words. Lord, for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
And you may be seated. How many know that when you start leaving God out, you start going the wrong direction? When we start making decisions and we leave God out, we go the wrong direction. Before I give you our topic, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. We'll come back to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read just one verse of scripture, and that being verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. How many know the only thing that counts today is that it's well with my soul? I said, how many know today that the most important thing to say is that it's well with my soul? With my soul. Jesus asked his disciples and the followers a question. He said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Our souls this afternoon is number one.
Come on, Albert.
The most important thing. What does it profit a man to gain all of the success in life but lose? That's my version. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? That's success. That's everything I want. That's everything I've been asking for. But they lose their souls. Amen. Your soul this afternoon, I don't care what anybody tells you, is the most important thing. Because your soul is the resident part of you that will live on forever. If you had $1 trillion, it too shall pass. If you had a mansion on top of a hill, it too shall pass. If you had, for those that want, a Lamborghini, and if you drive it, it too shall pass. But the one thing that will not pass is your soul. Amen. I heard Paul tell Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it is for certain that we will carry nothing
out.
The only thing, hallelujah, that should be of concern this afternoon
is our soul.
Sometimes we make the habit of looking around and desiring more. Amen. We used to sing a song, without God, I can't do nothing. It don't mean you can't do anything. I mean, nothing of success. It won't amount to anything. Hallelujah. Without God, I can do nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without God, my life would not be worth it. I'd be like a ship without a sail. You know what that represents? When you don't have God, your life, where you go, what you do, is determined by the circumstances that are coming against you. When all is well, you're well. But when things go wrong, you're down in the valley, amen, and can't get no joy. That's a life without God. That's a life that's become more dependent on something more than God. Verse 5 reads, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be. Well, Paul uses the term examine. That means that you ought to put yourself on trial. This examination means not somebody else put me on trial, but you put yourself on trial. Well, when you go on trial, what are you trying to find out? The things in our lives. Amen. And then he says, whether ye be in the Lord, today we thank you. And we pray that if we examine ourselves, indeed we are in the faith. But then he says, prove. Amen. Prove yourselves. Well, what are you trying to do when you say prove, Paul? He means that you need to make a scrutiny of your life. First, you need to put yourself on display. First, examine yourself. Then prove means to scrutinize down to the finest detail. Amen. It's just, as a comparison, how many ladies in here like gardens? Wow. Yeah, some of y'all husbands should be glad. Everybody raised their hand for diamonds. How about gold? Well, when we were in Israel years ago, we went to the Amramat, which is the diamond factory. Not on vacation, on missionary work. But we went to the diamond factory, and what the guy in the diamond factory, he said, now you can have this diamond over here. This is worth about $400 or $500. And it was a big diamond. He said, oh, you can have this diamond over here. It's a real little diamond that's worth so many thousands of dollars. And when you examine that, you say, wait a minute, something seems a little out of proportion. The little diamond is worth more than the big diamond. But then he took out a loop. You know what a loop is? It's something that you can see down deep. Amen. Looking beyond the outward surface. He said, now when you take this, now look in there. When you look down there, you see black specks. Things that were not pure. He said, that's why this big diamond is not worth as much. Because when you scrutinize it, when you prove it, it has some frailties. It has some shortcomings. It has some impurities. Amen. But then he said, now look at this pure diamond. When you look in the pure diamond, you can see nothing but light and flashes of colors. Well, that's the term Paul is using for proof. It's time to look down to we scrutinize, to prove what is genuine and real and pure, or to see what is some impurities. So Paul said, now examine yourself. Then after you examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not, then prove your own selves. Hallelujah. You know what's so good about proving yourself? That's between you and God.
Right.
And it's time to be real. He said, know ye not your own selves. When you examine yourself, then Christ is in you. Lord, so when I start making my decisions, Lord, when I start determining where I am in God, I have to see Christ in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to go to verses 7 and 12 of 2 Corinthians. So the thing that we want to do is what? Examine ourselves. And then after we examine ourselves, we want to prove or test or try ourselves to see where are we at in Christ. Yes. Amen. A lot of times we can judge things based on what we see. But how many know God can see a lot further? Yes.
Right.
So what God tells us this afternoon, yes, I love the Lord. Yes, I'm in church. Yes, I'm saved. But now it's time to scrutinize. It's time to go way down deep. Amen. You ever say, I know some stuff down there God's going to work on again, but you need to go deep. You need to really examine. Verse 5 reads, do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts himself that he is Christ, let him think again. Salvation, what we in God today, is not based on the outward appearance. It's not based on where you live, what you drive, or your status, or what titles are behind your name. But it's determined by the scrutiny down deep. And who's to do that? We are to do it ourselves. He said that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Now verse 12. Verse 12, and this is what happens in church and it happens in life. Amen. When we don't make a personal assessment of ourselves spiritually. Amen. When we go by the numbers of what people say. Amen. He says, for we dare not make ourselves, I don't need to get a reputation. He said, we dare not make ourselves of the number. We don't get a reputation comparing ourselves with some that, that's when our eyes are not on Christ. That's when we begin to look around at others. Amen. In church. And they say, well, they've been saved a little longer than me. If they can mess up, then I can mess up. No. Not so, brothers and sisters. We are to prove ourselves. He says, some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves. The standard of rule for us judging should always be the Bible and God's word. Amen. Once the church, once the individuals in the church start measuring themselves by the success of others, you don't know what they went through to get to where they are. Amen. You don't know the hard times. You don't know the struggles. You don't know the sleepless and prayerless nights. Amen. That they went through. So you don't even know, hallelujah, how long they've been saved or how much they know about God. But then in church, we look at somebody else and say, well, they messed up, so I'll mess up. So God accepts that, not so. God expects us to make a personal examination of ourselves. So he says, they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves. The last three words of that scripture say, they are what? Not wise. In church today, amen, it's sad to say, so many people are giving up on God. But the problem is not in God, because the Bible lets us know that God is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. And in being faithful, God will always supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. So with all these verses being said, our topic of message this afternoon is a comparative examination. A comparative examination. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the only one that has a heaven or hell to put me in is God.
Right.
I don't know about you, hallelujah, but the only one that has a heaven to put me in is God.
Come on, Elder.
Amen. So when I start proving myself, when I look beyond the outward appearance, when I look beyond the shout, when I look beyond the praise, when I look beyond all the singing, hallelujah, I look down deep in my heart.
Right.
And I say, Lord, I need to make some comparative examination. Now the mistake that we make in life is when we start comparing ourselves with men and others that are in church, we go wrong. But if I'm going to make a comparative examination, Jeremiah says that the Lord is going to search your heart and try your reins. The same exact scripture that Paul uses about examine yourself and prove yourself. The problem throughout the history If they forget to realize, or tend to forget, that God sees and knows all. Yes. God sees where you are. God sees what you do. Yes. And my God is so wise, hallelujah, he knows your thoughts afar off. I heard him say that not a word in your tongue, but I know it.
Yes.
Amen. So in our comparative judgment, or the comparative examination, the standard should be the word of God.
Right.
Not what people tell you, amen. Not what somebody else is going through. What's so good about God? He takes us all a different way.
Yes, he does.
But he expects us all to wind up at the same place. And that's a city called, hallelujah. Yes. Can I get some help?
Hallelujah.
I heard somebody say a city called heaven. Hallelujah. I got to make it. Yes. Lord, help me to make it to that city called heaven. I don't know about you, but I got to make it. Lord have mercy. I didn't live down here all these lives, all these years, and make all my sacrifices to wind up lost. So the city called heaven is not an option. Failure is not even an option. Not making it is not an option. I've got to make it. When I make my comparative examination, I see what other may be doing. Lord, but my standard is God.
Right.
Can we say God?
Right.
Your decision making should be based on God and His Word.
Right.
The minute I start making my comparison with man, we already read in Jeremiah, he said, cursed be the man that trusts in man and who the question this afternoon. Now you examine. Work out your own salvation. Hallelujah. I said work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Examine yourselves. Lord, I saw how I acted and I know it wasn't right.
Yes.
Amen, but I'm a pastor. I'm a pick on myself. I'm a pastor, so you know what? You all just have to take it wrong. I gotta be right in the sight of God.
Yeah.
So it said, cursed be the man that trusted in man. You know what the scripture could be rewritten to say? Cursed be the individual that trusts in themselves. Because when you start trusting in yourself, you can be guaranteed that you're going to make a mistake. Because when it's time to make a decision, I don't ask God. Because I've done this for 30 years. So I already know what to do. How many of you know, they say, it's been like this, this is the first time this has ever happened. For 30 years I've been doing this. What happened? Did you acknowledge God in all your ways? Lord, I'm trying to learn to lean on Jesus. Lord, I'm trying to learn to depend on Jesus. I hear the voices. I hear the advice. I hear the counsel. Lord, there's something down in my sanctified soul. Doesn't line up with what I'm hearing. I know they'll pat me on my back and push me in a certain direction. Lord, there's something down in my sanctified soul. You know what makes your soul sanctified? The Holy Ghost and the Word of God. So I don't want to deal with just my regular soul, because everybody has a soul.
Right.
But now, in making my comparative examination, hallelujah, I'm looking at my sanctified soul. And in examining my sanctified soul, I'm seeing it through the Word of God. I'm seeing my every action through the Word of God. I'm seeing my thought through the Word of God. So down in my sanctified soul, I want to be all right. Can we say all right? I said down in my sanctified soul, I want to be all right. Now, the bad comparison when you just look at your soul. And you look at somebody else and say, well, I'm better than they are. See, if you compare yourselves with yourselves, and then you start measuring yourself by yourself, the scripture says plainly, you are not. Why? Why? Because you leave Christ out. Amen. And you start depending on what you can do. But blessed is the man who trusted in the Lord. I'm going to ask you this afternoon who you really trust in. When the rubber meets the road and you stayed home because you were mad, or you couldn't understand who you trusted in. Amen. When everything didn't go the way I thought it should go, Lord, who are you? Blessed is the man, hallelujah, who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
Thank you, Jesus.
So, Lord, when I begin, you know, me, I told Bishop, you know, when we have our anniversary, I don't like people to put me up on those pedestals where I have to look down to the people. This is me now. I don't condemn anybody else who does. But me, when I look at you, I want to look at you eye to eye. Because I'm the same man just like anybody else. And then somebody wanted to pass it, but you're a pastor. I said, yeah, but I'm just a man. I never want to get to the place where I think I'm bigger than people.
Come on, Elder.
I said I never want to get to the place in God where I'm bigger than people. And the first thing, y'all know y'all make that mistake, right? Thank God, y'all learned. I don't need to be up higher than the people because it takes the people to build the church.
All right, now.
No people, no pastor, no church.
Right.
So I said, well, Bishop, this is just the way I am. Amen. And they were picking on me about my clothes and the stuff I wear. I said, but I don't care about all that stuff. Well, you know we instigated that, but we're not going to go there anyway. my shoes. Bishop said, they don't care. Some of that stuff should have been burned. Don't even give it away. I said, Bishop.
Come on, Elder.
Don't take this stuff to the Salvation Army. He said, you got stuff from 1970? I said, yes, sir. And what you do with that? I said, Bishop, I look at that to remind me where I've come from.
Right now.
I don't care about wearing it. Amen. I got stuff to remind me of where I came from. So when I get to where I am today, hallelujah, my soul still looks back. And just remember, amen, that I started off just like everybody else.
That's right.
But God chose to elevate me. Whatever we accomplish in God is not by us. It's by God. So if y'all see, every time we go down, y'all see none of them stages, amen? Because we're supposed to be with the people. My wife told us, she said, well, we're just a people people. We're just people people. I don't know what a people people is, but that's what she said. But what I'm saying is, when we start making some decisions, forget about where you are. Amen. Forget about what you've accomplished. Forget about what you've attained. Because as fast as God takes you up, God can bring you down. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, judge yourselves. And Paul says, examine yourselves. Jeremiah says, search. He said, judge yourself, and you have no need to be judged. And some people say, well, why are we judging? No, Paul is talking about something deeper than just everyday living. What they were judging was a special occasion. They were judging themselves to see whether they were worthy to partake in the Lord's Supper. So in judging themselves, it was concerning a spiritual matter. How many know that Paul tells the Corinthians, ye that are spiritual shall judge all things. Ye that are spiritual shall judge. Well, the number one thing you have to judge is first, yourself. So he said that when it comes to the Lord's Supper, this is special. This is something that you do in honor of the Lord's body. This is something that you do in honor of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. So he said, you are to judge yourselves. Amen. And in judging yourself, that's a scrutiny. That's an examination. That's when you know some things in your life might not be up to par. I'm not talking about that. How many know we all make a mistake? I'm talking about when you know there's sin of things that will separate between you and God. That's time to start judging. You know, you mess up, somebody's always judging me where they can't help if they see that you messed up. Amen. But when we start judging ourselves behind closed doors, when we start examining ourselves behind closed doors, when we come out, amen, we're all right. Because me and the Lord already went through a scrutiny of me. So when I present myself before the people, I'm all right. Can we say all right?
All right.
It's so important this afternoon in making our comparative examination. Do it based on the Word of God. Now God is a God of His Word. And God is faithful to His Word. You know, you ever mess up and you say, well, God, please forgive me and don't make me pay the penalty. God said, no. You mess up. You won't have to pay the ultimate penalty, but you have to reap what you have sown, because that is God's word. In church, we have the tendency to start making our decisions based on others. I know when I first got saved, I was in college, and you know, we made a mistake being saved. You know, all this group of us got saved at the same time. So what we would do, we would tell, pray for me, I did this, you messed up. Then the next thing you know, the other person was, next time would say, pray for me, I did what he did. Then pray for me, because I did what she did. Amen? That's bad. When you start opening up your failures and faults to somebody else. Because the power of suggestion is a mean tool. The Bible says life and death in the what? Power of the tongue. So when we first got saved, we kept messing up because we were comparing ourselves with each other. Amen. And then we get together. But then, you know, one time I happened to go down south to Atlanta to visit over the summer. Amen. And unfortunately, people in church were judging me. I don't know what they were judging me by. They said, oh, he won't be back. Hey, thank God that he didn't see his other sin. Amen. They did their evaluation about which college kids would be back in church and which won't be back. They wrote me off and said I wouldn't be back. But what they didn't know is when I got home, I was still messed up a little bit. Amen. But my little five-year-old sister said something to me. I didn't know sometimes kids can cut you. Sometimes kids can cut you. My little five-year-old, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. My little five-year-old sister, Mona, she's still cutting people. I hope you hear this, Mona, if I play it. But she cut me to something. When she cut me, I had to go in the room and pray.
All right.
It was just me and God.
All right.
And as I was praying and I started reading the Bible, because this time it's just me and God. I don't have the security of my friends that have failed. I don't have the security of the ones that are messed up. So I'm starting to just sit down, and I couldn't get mad at her because she's only 5 years old. But she cut me. So I started reading the Bible, and as I started reading the Bible, sitting there disappointed in myself that it took a child to correct me. How many know that Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes, and he perfected praise.
Yeah.
I started reading my Bible. And who knows, only God knows, if she had not cut me with what she said, and no, I'm not going to tell you, Tanya, Justin, nobody else will answer me. But if she had not cut me, I would not have taken that solid time, that solitude, private time with God. And as I started reading the Bible, things that I had never seen in the Bible just began to open up to me. Because I was wounded by my little sister. It's a danger, brothers and sisters, when instead of using people as a measuring stick to get high in Christ, you start using people as a measuring stick to justify your failures. That's bad comparison. That's not a good comparative examination. My sister cut me so bad, she don't know it to this day. It's the first time I ever told anybody. I gotta call and tell her about it. I will tell her. It made me go back to the Word of God. And it made me do an examination. Then when college started over, they were shocked. They said, oh, you came back. They said, wow, you were the last one we expected to come back, but everybody else that they thought would be back never came back to church. That's why we do not judge things based on the outward appearance. It's so important this afternoon that we start judging ourselves for some spiritual stuff. Yes, all of us want to look, who don't want to look good? I wish I had more hair, I don't have it. So I got to take what I have. Matter of fact, Bishop said, what you trying to hold to that little stuff, or what you cut the rest of it off anyway? I said, yeah, Bishop, I'm working on that. But all of us want to look good in some kind of way. Anybody that walk out the house want to look bad? Don't raise your hand if you do. Keep it between you and yourself, right? But everybody wants to look good. That good means nothing if you don't look good in the eyes of God. It's nothing more than a superficial thing. God is more concerned with our spiritual judgment. He said, judge yourselves, and you have no need to be judged. But it was concerning what? Something spiritual. The mistake that Nebuchadnezzar and his son Belshazzar made was in dishonoring God. When Nebuchadnezzar had got high, when he was considered himself to be above everything else, he made an image of gold and told them to worship him. God corrected him time after time, but there was a spiritual issue down in Nebuchadnezzar. To the point that he got to the point that he made himself God. So God had to bring him down because his spiritual judgment was bad. So for 7 years, a man wandered out in the field like a wild beast. Even his own reasoning departed from him. God said, I'm going to let you go through it till you understand that I rule in the kingdom of men. Maybe what you're going through today, you're going through it because you have not let learned that God rules in the kingdom of men. So God takes us ways that we don't like to try to get our attention. So then after that, his son Belshazzar comes on the scene. Amen. And he was all right. But one of his festive parties, he went and took out the vessels of the house of God. He desecrated God. He dishonored God. He made a bad spiritual comparison. Amen. And because he did not judge himself spiritually. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today the most important judgment you can ever make is, what is my spiritual condition in Christ? He did not judge himself spiritually. So then we dishonored and desecrated the vessels of God and began to drink out of them and have a festive party. Amen. God had to get his attention. Why? Because he had not judged himself spiritually. Amen. Though he was drunk, God sobered him up in a hurry. Some of us today, we might be drunk. I'm not talking about alcoholic or intoxicated drunk. But some of us are drunk with our circumstances we're going through. And this intoxication, I'm not talking about alcohol. I'm talking about the intoxication of a relationship. It might be the intoxication of a job. Something has us blinded that we don't see God. So God needs to get his attention. Hallelujah. So the Bible said a hand came out of nowhere and began to write on the wall. Now this man was drunk. The Bible said when he saw that hand begin to write on the wall, his knees began to shake one against another. Because God was trying to get his, because his comparative examination showed there was a spiritual flaw. Amen. So God wrote on the wall many, many tico epsilon. Amen. He didn't understand what it meant, but God had a plan. God had a plan. Amen. He went to all of the wise men, soothsayers in his kingdom, but they could not give him the meaning of the writing. So finally he said, let's call Daniel. Because we remember when your father has a bad situation, the man of God was able to interpret his situation. So they called in Daniel and they promised Daniel this and that. Daniel said, I don't need none of your stuff. Amen. I'm going to do it because I'm a child of God.
Right.
So he said, first of all, Belshazzar, the problem is you did not judge yourself properly. Now you know what happened to your father when he elevated himself above God. You know what happened to your father, amen, when he dishonored God and desecrated God. God made him to wander for 7 years out in the wilderness. He said, how is it that you were not afraid to dishonor God? He said, many, many, tekel epsilon means, many, many means you have been weighing in the tekel balances and you're found wanting. The issue was not a natural situation. It wasn't the fact that he was a king and the highest in the land, but it was a spiritual condition. Today, brothers and sisters, we don't want many, many tikkun epsilon before any of us. We don't need God to start writing on the wall to get our attention, but we need to just surrender. He said, how is it that you and as we stand, how is it as we stand and the ministers come forward, he said, how is it that you fail to remember spiritually what happened to your father? If you were to judge or examine yourself, amen, you do not have to be short spiritually. You do not have to come up short. And God begins to weigh our lives. How many know that only God will decide what we spend eternity? It won't be your best friend, it won't be your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, but God. When God put Belshazzar in the balances, and he began to weigh him. God says, Belshazzar, spiritually, you're short. Spiritually, Belshazzar, you have not arrived to the place where God wants you to be. The Bible says a false balance. You know, God expects our lives to be in balance and in moderation. But the scripture says a false balance is an abomination before the Lord. This afternoon, as we make our comparative examination, how does our life balance out spiritually? Amen. I'm not talking about where you are, what you've achieved. Spiritually, where are you at in God? Are you short? Will God be able to say, I have somewhat against you? Will God say, I know your works, and I know you could have done better, but you didn't do it? Don't be unwise. Don't compare yourself with anybody else, any other church, any other person that might be close to you. Make the word of God your standard of rule. Judge yourself based on the word of God. Let the word of God be your measuring stick for where you're at in God. Now, right now, it's not important what any of us see. and so insecure about what God thinks about them. It's amazing how people focus so much on other people, but their hearts depart away from God. The indictment is, where's your heart today? And God is in, not me, because it's not important. That's why the Bible says, fear not him who's able to destroy the body, but fear him who's able to destroy both the body and soul and hell, and that's God. Now, in fear today, in decision making today, please make that decision based on the word of God. Like I said, I love my wife. I'll do anything for her, but I won't go against God. And I know she loves me, and she won't do anything against God. What things in our lives are causing God to lose his mind? What decision makers are we making that's causing God not to be pleased with us? You have a name that you live, the scripture said, but you are dead. Why? Because we are not honoring God. Today, brothers and sisters, honor God.